Well, hello, hello. It is good to be with all of you. We are at the Betancourt Beach House here in Siesta Key, Sarasota, Florida. It's been a very good time here, and the whole family has healed up. Well, none of us ever got other than Catalina, but Catalina has healed up, and we are doing well. So let me open us with a word of prayer, and then we will be diving into John chapter 4. John chapter 4. So turn there in your Bibles. Let me open us with prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you on this Sunday morning, thanking you for your grace and your mercy in the Lord Jesus, that you have given us living water to drink so that we can never thirst. And surely this Jesus that you have blessed your church with is making him head over the church. Surely he loves us. And we come here on, we are here worshiping you in order to praise the God who saved us through Christ by the Spirit. And we pray in his name. Amen. Now, if you know anything about four-year-old boys, six-year-old boys, five-year-old boys, young boys, you know that they want to do everything, absolutely everything on their own. And they don't want to admit their inadequacy. They don't want to seek for help. And instead, they typically assert their dominance and their control over any particular situation. You know, we're here at the beach, and Levi loves jumping over the waves. And sometimes there's a ginormous wave, and he needs me to pick him up and help. And he'll sort of, I don't want that. Let me do it. Yeah. Sometimes I'll let him get water, and he's got water all over his face. I say, well, see? You need some help, you know. Or sometimes Asher will be trying to pull Legos apart that are kind of stuck together until he screams in frustration instead of asking for help. They're so often blind to the fact that an adult is standing right next to them who can do the exact thing that they need. Well, here in our passage, the Samaritan woman is like the child, and Jesus is like the adult. What we learn in this passage this morning is that Jesus calls on all people to ask for the cup of salvation and partake of it. The cup he offers is life in abundance, and only he can give it. So our sermon outline goes like this. Jesus wants us to, one, ask for the drink, and two, take the drink. So one, ask for the drink, and two, take the drink. Hear the words of God from John chapter 4, verses 7 through 14. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." Those were the words of God. Amen. So our first point, Jesus wants all people to, one, ask for a drink. Ask for the drink. So let's sort of paint the scene here. John's gospel, as many would put it, is a new Genesis. It's a new Genesis about how the world's creator entered in to dwell among us, how the world's creator tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only unique Son. And now in chapter 3, the chapter before our chapter, and we see this amazing exchange between Nicodemus, who goes to Jesus at night so his reputation isn't stained. And this is where you get that marvelous back and forth, and we learn of the necessity of being born again. And then in our passage, as he is passing through Samaria, he stays at a well in order to meet a harlot, a prostitute, despite what it would do to his reputation. He waited there for her. And not only that, she was a Samaritan. A Samaritan who the Jews utterly despised, for they were unclean. But you see, that is our Jesus. That is our Jesus. And it's not just any old well. Notice that it's Jacob's well. It was a very reliable running spring, but it was also a dug-out well. And the particular underground spring is actually still quite reliable even to this day as far as we understand it. So it is really a perfect analogy. I read one theologian say it was begging for a metaphor, right? So it's really a perfect analogy for Jesus' living water of salvation that we learn of in our passage here, in this passage. And they have this marvelous exchange where we learn of Jesus' love for sinners and yet his gentle, personal, conversational evangelism and his the way he goes about spiritual conversation. And so the Samaritan woman comes to the well about the sixth hour, which is an odd hour to go. Usually, you typically wouldn't go during the heat of day. Remember, the Jewish day started at sunrise. And she went by herself, which is also unusual, because typically women went in groups at that time. And this tells us about her place within the society at that time. And this further contrasts her with Nicodemus. You see, Jesus ministers to the powerful, accepted elites. Nicodemus, powerful, accepted, higher up, 1%, and Jesus ministers to him. In a different way, but he does. And Jesus also ministers to the outcasts and the rejects. So Jesus is sitting at the well on this 3 days journey to Galilee, and he's thirsty, so he asks for a drink. But of course, he has a lot more in mind than simply asking for a drink. This is what it takes. This is what takes us to the woman's first question. So he asks for a drink, and then we get this big how. How? Notice this first question. She was in complete disbelief that this Jew would be speaking to her, let alone the king of the Jews. Notice what she says. How is it that you, verse 9, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? There was great religious and political differences between Jews and Samaritans, and this is why John says here that they had no dealing in verse 9, for Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. And her heart was hard to the truth. She can't see who is speaking to her. She doesn't understand how he would ask something of her and how he could be claiming to be greater than Jacob. How is this possible? For he's giving this living water greater than the water from Father Jacob's well. That can't be. So how, in this context, is the great question of unbelief. How? God says, I will provide for you and never forsake you. And we say, how? God says, come to me. Jesus says, come to me. And we say, how? God says, through suffering, I will sanctify you and bless you and turn it for your good. And we say, God says, I'm the one in control of sickness and disease and COVID. And therefore, do not fear, but rather put your trust in me. And we say, how? How? Are we not like this woman? How? Let's also look to Jesus' love for all people. How did Jesus respond to this question of how? Why would a Jew ask me for a drink, a Samaritan woman? How? How does he answer? With a gentle rebuke in verse 10. Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. You see, it's as if Jesus is saying, if you knew that I'm the Christ, if you knew that I am God in the flesh, if you would have known that salvation is for the Jews and the Gentiles, if you've been reading your Old Testament and especially the book of Isaiah, you would not have been shocked at this. Instead, you would have asked me for the water that will lead to life, a life of abundance in God with an inheritance that is better than all the riches of the world 10 times over. If you knew who I was and my message, you would have known my love for all people. You would have known that the gospel was to go out to all of the nations. You should know that in Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. You should know this. You would have known that, as Jesus says later in the passage, that an hour is coming, and now is here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. So if she knew that he was the Christ, if she knew, she wouldn't have been bothering herself with these Jewish Samaritan relations. She would have understood and said, give me this water. She would have sought the water from the Messiah who is sitting right in front of her. What a beautiful and wonderful reminder that God will save any sinner who repents and turns to him. Black and white, slave and free, Palestinian and Jew, Tutsis and Hutus, Scotsman and Englishman, rich and poor, Jesus calls on all men everywhere to ask for the drink. And Jesus surely will give this water when asked. And therefore, let us notice the necessity of knowing who he is in order to ask. You see, we need to ask him. He says, if you knew the gift of God, and if you knew who it is that is saying it to you, if you knew me, surely you would ask. And the knowledge he speaks of here isn't merely intellectual, but rather effectual. It's not simple intellectual knowledge, but rather effectual knowledge. You must know who Jesus is, who is calling on you to ask for this drink. The world either thinks he was a decent teacher, some rabbis think that he was just a Jewish rabbi that did not teach anything that the Christian scriptures say he taught, for the most part. Some say he never existed, although that is the craziest position to hold out of all of them. You see, the natural man cannot believe the idea of the incarnation. They cannot believe that God tabernacled, as John 1 says. God dwelled among us. He dwelt among us. He tabernacled among us by being born of a virgin, joining human flesh. This seems impossible to us. But as Jesus says elsewhere, with God all things are possible, as Christ himself did say. So we, as sinful as we are, cannot fathom lowering ourselves in our society, especially in our societal status, voluntarily, in order to save people out of something, let alone dying for them. Can you imagine a wealthy banker who lives in a mansion on Clearwater Beach, selling all that he had and moving to a ghetto in St. Pete in order to help the community? Well, how much harder is it to understand and to fathom that God himself actually entered into his own creation to dwell among us as a poor servant and die a criminal's death on a cross? Peter calls in Acts 4, the author of life was murdered. But he did. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. We must know who he is in order to ask. And when many of you know, and I'm especially thinking of it now because I'm in Sarasota, that's where I went to rehab. Me and Catalina went to rehab here, a place called First Step. So I always think about it when I'm here. And when I went there, I remembered the gospel that I heard as a little kid. And I remembered thinking, Jesus, I know who he is. He's my Lord and my God, and he's powerful to redeem. There is someone who can redeem me. and who can give me living water. And I know who he is. So the lady at the well needed to know who she was speaking to. And Jesus calls her, though she is a Samaritan, to ask. He gives her the opportunity to ask for this cup of salvation. Because I'm the only one who can give it. And not only does he want her to ask, but he wants us to as well. And he also wants us to take the drink. Point two. Jesus calls on all people to ask for the drink and then take the drink. Notice that Jesus answers a second question. A second question. Listen to the question of verse 11. Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. So how did Jesus respond? Well, we learn in Jesus' answer that Jacob's well, although it was a reliable source of water, it never truly quenched thirst. It never truly satisfied. But unlike Jacob's well, the water that Jesus gives will quench your thirst forever. Will quench your thirst. The water, whoever drinks the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. You can translate that as never be thirsty into eternity. Never be thirsty forever and ever and ever. Why? Because you see, nothing else can satisfy. Nothing else. Nothing else. Also, thinking about the time I was in rehab again, we learn in rehab a lot of helpful tips on staying sober. Some good principles, but they were ultimately like the water of Jacob's well. We were thirsty again. We needed more and more principles. People would go out of Narcotics Anonymous, where I typically went, or Alcoholics Anonymous. They went out of the rooms and relapsed. Why? Because AA and NA can't quench your thirst ultimately. They can't quench your thirst, so you relapse. People ask sometimes of me, someone who is addicted to drugs, how could I enjoy a drink after being addicted like that? And the answer is, I'm not thirsty. I'm satisfied. I've tasted the living waters and I've been content. I've seen Jesus, and I don't need substances to satisfy. And now I can eat bread and drink wine with a merry heart because God has already accepted my works. Ecclesiastes 9:7. You see, only Christ can satisfy. And if you've drinking of this cup, you know that he alone can satisfy. But oh, how the world lies to us over and over again. How it promises to quench our thirst. Hollywood teaches that self-indulgence in beauty, even if the beauty is at the hand of a doctor, will quench your thirst. Politicians claim that their new bloated socialist government program will quench your thirst. Surely it would not. Maybe you think drugs and alcohol will quench your thirst, as I once did. Maybe food, but Christian, nothing else can satisfy. All is empty except for the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on a cross for our sins. And notice that this Jesus states, notice what he says here. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Look at this word welling for a moment. Look at the word welling in verse 14. This could be to jump, or figuratively, to gush or to spring up, to leap. So you can say this water becomes a spring of water that leaps up into or gushes into or springs up into eternal life. The water is like the leaven that goes through the whole loaf. It eventually fills the whole thing. This is a guarantee. Those whom he predestined, he also called. Those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. No one, also John 6, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. This river flows right into the Father's arms. This river flows right into the Father's arms. Brothers and sisters, since this is the case, I implore you not to just know your need for this water, but actually partake of it and want it and desire it and dive into it, knowing, it's like this. Knowing you need to lose weight is one thing. I need to lose more weight. Many of you know I'm on that journey. But you can't just know you need to lose weight. You actually have to commit to making a life change. It's similar here. This Jesus is all that will satisfy. And he comes you. He calls on you not to just come, but to dive in and partake. Dive in this river. Drink of this cup. And do so unceasingly. Sometimes we're Christian, we're in the water. And we try to get out. We think something else is going to satisfy. That thing looks shiny over there. Let me go, that's nice. Let me go try to get that. That looks interesting. Or sometimes we have the cup, put it another way. Sometimes we have the cup to our lips and we say, that bagel looks pretty good. The cup is the only thing that will satisfy our souls. It's the only thing. Don't let the world lead you astray. Don't just say, yeah, I know Jesus' words are true here, but actually live in light of them. If you believed whoever drinks this water that Jesus gives would actually never thirst again, then the world wouldn't be so enticing to you. The world, the devil, and the flesh, and their temptations are like a carrot hanging out in front of your face, and you would smack it away. Get out of here. I know what satisfies. And that's Jesus Christ, the righteous. So see the necessity of unceasingly partaking. Never, ever stop. There's a great pastor in our denomination who tells a story of his conversion where he's crying out to Jesus, crying out, and he says, cover me in your blood, Lord. And it was so, it's always struck me. I heard this years ago, but he said, I never want to find myself in a place where I can't cry out the same thing I did on that day. Cover me with your blood. So Christian, never find yourself in a place. Never find yourself in a place where you can say, where you can't say, I want the living water that only you can give. Lord, give me the cup so I can drink. Never find yourself in a place where you can't say such a thing. So not only do you want to drink of this cup because Christ only can satisfy our souls, but as he said in the last chapter, you must be born again. You must drink of this cup. And who drinks of this cup? All that the Father has given to Jesus. Notice Jesus sought her out. He stayed by the well while the disciples were getting food. He knew her thoughts. He knew her way of life. He sought her and he found her. And even though she didn't know who he was at first, she still gave her the living water because she belonged to him. And the Father gave her to Jesus and she realized who he was and she partook and then spread the news about him, of who this Jesus of Nazareth really is. By drinking this living water, you're drinking from the fountain of life, as it says in the Psalms. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light do we see light. Brothers and sisters, Jesus sought you out and found you, and he gave you this water. That springing up into eternal life. Christian, therefore, your redemption is nigh. Your redemption is nigh. And if you do not know Jesus this day, I implore you, drink the cup of his salvation. There is no other way to find freedom from sin and death. There is no other way to find hope and freedom from the lifelong slavery of the fear of death. No other way to be satisfied. Jesus calls on all people to ask for this cup of salvation and then partake of it. And the cup that he offers is life in abundance, and only he can give it. So my question today is this: do you want abundant life? Do you want abundant life? The woman didn't know who he was. Jesus was just another weary traveler. He looked like us. He smelled like us. He got hungry and tired like us. And yet he was God incarnate. God really came down and dwelt among us. No, God didn't say from the heavens, take this cup. No, he actually came down and became poor, although he was rich. And he said, take the cup. Take the cup. Do you want abundant life? Then come to the living waters. The Spirit and the Bride say come. And this river flows right into the Father's arms. See the streams of living waters springing from eternal love. Well supply thy sons and daughters and all fear of want remove. Who can faint while such a river ever flows their thirst to assuage? Grace, which like the Lord the giver, never fails from age to age. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are glorious, for you sent your Son into the world to die and save sinners, and to give them this cup of salvation. You've offered it, and Lord, we want this cup. We thank you, Lord, those of us who know you, that we have been given this cup, and oh Lord, may we never, never forget it. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would save souls, the souls of those who have never taken this cup. And help us, those of us who have, to be like Jesus in the way we share him with others. To tell them about this cup. And may you save souls through your people as your means, as your foot soldiers going out. Lord, work in us as you have promised. And we pray in Jesus' name.